down to business with Vodafone, Ireland's best in test network for voice and data, awarded by P3.
Summer is just around the corner and many of you are probably already counting down the days until you can pack your bags, leave the daily grind behind and get into holiday mode. For some people though, being on holidays is sort of their daily grind, and I'm talking about tour guides. What's it like to make ends meet by joining people on their travels, and what makes a really good tour guide? Here to guide us through this touring industry are trip leader with Top Deck and tour guide at Teeling's Distillery, Kevin Gallagher, owner of Green Horizon Tours, Jorg Meal, national tour guide, Colette Farrelly, and owner of Paddy Wagon Tours, Cathal O'Connell. You're all very welcome to the programme and thank you all for coming in this morning. Kevin, I might start with you and you might tell me maybe a little bit about you and your business just to kick us off.
All right, for myself, I've been working for Top Deck since 2013. It was kind of random how I ended up with it. The click of a button can change the course of your life a little bit. But yeah, I've been working with Top Deck. Top Deck's a company that basically works across the world at the moment, but I specialise in the European tours.
And it's 18 to 40 year olds.
18 to 30 somethings, but yes, around the 40 mark is where it is.
So if you're 41, you might sneak on, you never know.
And but maybe you might be advised to try a different trip.
Perhaps. And now, just again to explain the business, so this is not one day, this is like 2 to 7 weeks long, these trips that you orchestrate.
Yeah, so they do specialise in shorter ones as well, that may be a New Year's trip to Madrid or to Amsterdam, something like that, or Easter trips away. But generally, yeah, 2 weeks to 7 weeks long across the continent of Europe.
Okay, and you also then do tour guiding in Teeling's Distillery.
I have been for the last couple of months, actually. I just finished up there on Thursday because I'm going to head back to the continent to work for Top Deck again.
Okay, well, stay with us because we'll meet our other guests. My second guest that I want to introduce you to is Jorg. Jorg Mill, he's the owner of Green Horizon Tours. Jorg, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And I think your tours are largely Germanic, are they?
Well, yeah, German-speaking clients I have.
Swiss
people and from Austria. And obviously, German would be the biggest market because of the population, obviously. Started tour guiding in 2003, and then the seasons were rather short back then, and I decided I wanted to extend the tours, and I thought I might organize some tours myself in March and in October. And that turned out to be well, and then I thought I might as well do the same tours during the summer.
Good man.
And then I changed the name because I wasn't providing guides, because I was acting as a tour operator. So I changed to Green Tours. And then I had to found a limited company, so I had to change the name to Green Horizon Tours. So just to explain the name, Green Horizon Tours, that's it really.
Okay, well, you're very welcome. We'll be back to you in a second. Our next guest is Colette Farrelly. She's a national tour guide. Colette, you're very welcome to the programme. You worked for Lufthansa, you worked for CIE Tours.
Yes.
You have a strong background in this business.
That's right, Bobby. I started many centuries ago.
Don't be saying that now. It's
well,
only like yesterday.
Guides talk in terms of centuries. I started a long time ago and worked for about 8 or 9 years and worked in Ireland as a tour guide, as an employee of CIE Tours. And then after that, I worked on the European continent. And that was for a few years. And then I gave it up and worked with Lufthansa. And then significant time later, I came back 4 years ago.
Really,
and I do a lot of tours now.
Really interesting. Okay, well, we'll hear more about your world in a second. And our final guest is Cathal O'Connell, the owner of Paddy Wagon Tours. Cathal, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Tell us about you and your business, even though we know you here from down the business before. But absolutely, tell us more.
I suppose I started back about 1998, specialising at the time as a young fella in the young person's market, the backpackers, those who came to enjoy, have a bit of fun, get a bit of sightseeing and really get involved in the Irish culture. So we tried to give the whole industry a bit of razzmatazz. We brought out those green buses, started singing songs, telling stories and giving people an experience that they will never, ever forget.
And your background, Cathal, you were a chef and somebody spotted you on a safari and said this chef actually can entertain people, and they taught you how to drive, and you sort of drifted into it. But you did know one of the kernels of the foundation of your business was that it would be personality driven.
Absolutely. The whole thing was about get on that bus, call it Showtime, and let's make sure that people have a great experience and that they really enjoy the beauty that is Ireland.
Okay, let me bring in Kevin again now, and we'll get into more, some of the things. Loads of things I want to ask you. Kevin, your business, Top Deck, have a no tipping policy. Right. I thought that was interesting, that that kind of sort of goes against what I would have thought would have been the norm in the business.
Well, I think it is the norm in many companies. I think Top Deck have the idea that these people have paid a few thousand euro. They're travelling Europe. They've paid for their trip already. And we're getting paid to do our jobs anyway.
Yeah.
So the idea of asking for a tip at the end of it might seem a bit, I don't know, a bit mean to them. They've already paid for this. We've been paid for our job. So there's no need to ask for them.
Okay. You know. And is that okay with everybody, all the tour guides okay with that?
Oh, we signed up for it. You know?
Yeah, okay. That's what we signed up for. Okay. Tell me about the importance of language in terms of, I suppose it's a fundamental to be able to communicate as well as you can in the native language of your guests.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, they are mostly Australian and New Zealand is what our guests are. So, you know, Irish culture is not too far off the Australians and the Kiwis, so they're very easy to get along with straight off. So actually coming from Ireland, or the guys coming from the UK, straight off are going to have an easy time getting along with these guys.
Just another question for you. What happens if you get lost when you're doing a tour guide? Well, how do you get out of that? If you get lost, surely it's a kind of a, it kind of undermines confidence in this guy's ability to be a good tour guide. Is it a kind of a, is it a basic no-no that you don't get lost?
No, I mean, your heart will start racing quite fast. Look, I've taken a wrong turn in my days, but what you do is you just figure out quite quickly that you need to take a left or circle back or keep an eye out for an interesting building that you can waffle on.
Right, okay.
But now, for the most part, you do a lot of study, you figure out where you need to go. Sometimes you're going to a city you may not have been to before, do a walking tour, so you just prep, Google Maps, learn every street off, pray that that church is going to come around the corner that you studied up on.
So it's just about good research.
It's good research and just preparation to get you through.
Well, Bobby, probably the best definition of a good tour guide is a guy who can guide his way around a place he's never been.
Absolutely. Jörg, let me bring you in here. We talked about your German client base, and again, you don't do day tours either, or you try not to. Tell me about the itinerary and the importance of the itinerary as a for the customer.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certain selling points in Ireland, like County Kerry and County Clare, Cliffs of Moher. The North is getting quite popular too, and you want to put together an exciting tour, obviously, but you also want to have the beaten tracks, because they're beaten tracks for good reason, I always say. But you also want to put in some new stuff too. So I try to get my clients involved. So I tell them, well, if they get in touch with me, then I ask them, have you been to Ireland before? What have you seen? What did you like? What didn't you like that much? Would you like to see any new places? And then I try to customize that tour pretty much. And but a lot of clients, they just they read the itineraries on our website, and then they're happy enough of that. That sounds good. We've been there before, but we're happy to go there again. So you want to be.
But once the itinerary is sort of agreed, is it important to stick to it?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's changing the itinerary. It's a no-go.
Okay.
It's to avoid complaints, to avoid hassle, to avoid getting lost. So, yeah, you stick to the itinerary.
It's like any business. You got to have a plan.
Yeah, and you stick to it seriously. Like
okay. Colette, I'm very interested in the kind of working life of somebody who doing tours. The ability to read a group well. Now, I presume with tour groups, you're going to get all sorts of types and, you know, different characters and all that. So is it really important as the guide that you make a kind of an early assessment of what you have in terms of the group?
It is. When you first meet a group, it's very important that you read the group effectively to see what kind of people you have. Sometimes you have a mixture of people, all kinds of people, but there's usually a predominant theme going on. Sometimes you get a group of people who really want to hear knowledge and want to know about everything. And other times you just have a party group of people, or you could have a group of people who are interested in a specific theme. It's very important, in my view.
Now, you had a group recently that went on an agricultural tour, which I thought was an interesting concept. So they particularly wanted to see agricultural things. you said they were all very young and they put you on their WhatsApp group and you were involved in the crack. But the downside was that you were getting complaints about room 309 misbehaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. Is this a sort of a typical day in the life of a tour guide?
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
It was very funny because in Bavarian dialect, and I do German speaking tours just like York, I couldn't really understand, but I got the gist that the fun was happening in room 309 and would I come over at 6:35 in the morning because drinks were being served.
was in the WhatsApp group.
In the WhatsApp group.
Unreal, unreal. Well, then you've arrived then, Colette.
I have arrived, absolutely.
Yeah. Cathal, can I ask you a couple of things? You've said that you hadn't been mad about the idea of working in an office anyway, but after you've spent many nights sleeping under the stars in Africa with attractive Swedish girls, you don't really have much interest in being an accountant or in the office.
Well, I didn't necessarily say I was sleeping with the Swedish girls, unfortunately.
Among Swedish girls.
And definitely having experienced that way of life and sitting by the braai every evening, it'd be very hard to go back in and do the debits and the credits, Bobby.
And do you become part of the group? And I know you have to be, you're the one in charge, you're the one guiding, but is it important that your personality intertwines with the group
Absolutely, absolutely. And, years ago we used to socialise a bit more with the groups, but it's still very much part of being their friend. They trust you for the week. You have their whole... You are responsible for their week's holidays, the one time that they might be in Ireland in all of their lives. Mm. It relies on you. Mm. So you got to make them happy with songs and stories, sad by telling them about the famine, etc. It's like going to a good restaurant. You're having five or six different courses. Every little bit, every little story has to keep them interested.
Yeah.
They want to be... They're thirsty for knowledge. They want to have fun. So you've got to give them the whole picture of what we're about here in Ireland, which we're a great crack, but we're also storytellers and singers and a bit more to that as well.
Yeah, no, Kevin, to bring you back in, Kevin Gallagher, it's very much personality driven, is it?
It is, really is. I mean, we can give them the culture and the knowledge, but you have to get along with your people. You have to understand them, be their best friend. You also have to be their counsellor, their parent or their nurse in whatever situation arises. But really, getting along with them, that makes their trip a lot easier. It makes them have a lot more fun. They trust you then a lot more and they'll believe everything that you'll tell them, which hopefully is true all of the time.
So it's a form of entertainment. Can I ask maybe about some of the, I suppose, maybe clouds on the horizon? We have Brexit, we have terrorism now. Mm. Like, that's surely, both of those things are surely going to have a knock-on effect into this sector. Could I just suggest that, maybe?
I think it's possible in Europe. For people that are coming from far away, they may be a little worried about what could have happened, what happened in Paris or what happened in Nice. But, like, Top Deck are always constantly, looking on government's sites, what they say, of any threats or any issues in each country. So they'll maybe tell me. They'll send emails off to potential clients and they'll just also ask people to, check it up for themselves as well. But really, I personally wouldn't really be worrying about that stuff. Bad things can happen at any point, anywhere. Mm. If you start to let that affect your holidays, which is your couple of weeks away, a year,
No, but the point I'd make to maybe make it to you, Jörg, that is that there's potentially less customers now on the basis of things that are effectively outside your control.
Well, I kind of agree what Kevin said. Well, I totally agree with what Kevin said. I'm not sure if that would affect any terrorism threats or even the Brexit, because people, they plan their holidays and then they're looking forward to it, and then I don't think they...
Well, we had 8 million tourists there or thereabouts last year. I think the numbers for the first quarter are slightly disappointing, but maybe it's too early to say.
Oh, okay.
That's possible, but you can see some of the big sites in the country, on the island, like the Giant's Causeway and the Cliffs of Moher, are trying to limit numbers. They can't cope. So, I mean, there's definitely, we have hit a point where we are struggling to manage. I mean, there definitely is not enough buses in the country to deal with the amount of tourists during a 6-month period. And then, of course, come the off season, there are plenty. But as far as terrorism, look, we have to look forward. In the past, I mean, I've had to deal with ash clouds, I've had to deal with foot and mouth.
Yeah.
SARS, you name it. So if Donald Trump is the next worry, well, we have to deal with him too.
Yeah.
But Ireland was voted one of the top 10 safest countries in the world if anything did happen.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, Cathal, about I suppose trends around tours, like, you know, Game of Thrones and all that has had a huge effect up around that part of the Antrim coast. We have the Wild Atlantic Way, this ancient East, which I'm not so convinced about, but it seems to be working, or is it?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, Ireland along the coastline is definitely going to do very well. It's the part in the middle. We're a bit like a donut.
Yeah.
There's not that much in the middle, Bobby.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. And again, I've seen it myself when you go across towns in and it's about really finding what you have and, you know, latching onto it and marketing it as best you can. Colette, can I just bring you back in again here? The way you operate, so is it typical that someone like yourself would be a freelancer or would be an employee, or how does it generally work?
Well, the way the industry works here in Ireland is that the majority of tour operators have what they call preferred guides.
Okay.
And it works like that. And the majority of guides have who they call anchor clients.
Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, I would work with Abbey Tours, a very successful tour operator now. And I would be maybe, they would be my anchor client and I would be their preferred guide, amongst others. Now,
well,
not
that's
the
a two-way street then, is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, okay, all right. And is business good?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good indeed.
Okay.
Thank God.
Jörg, can I ask you about, again, just coming back to the personality thing, about you say that you're yourself, warts and all, that you don't really go in for this sort of acting thing. Tell me more about that and the psychology behind that.
Well, I contradict Cathal now, maybe a little bit, but...
no problem, we like that.
No, I know that, he's far enough away, though, that's okay.
Have a big row with him, we don't mind.
Well, just a little bit, I mean, so but that's only me personally. So I wouldn't be, if I'm still myself on the coach, I wouldn't be an actor. I know one tour guide who could totally change into a different person. So, you know, raising his arms and standing on the coach, which is not, it's a no-go anyway. And then, and after a week's tour, he would be exhausted. He would be, you know, because he's changed his personality totally. And I'm not doing that. I'm always the same. If I finish a tour after a week and I meet the same clients again, I'm still the same. That's really it. I'm still like the singing and the entertaining. There's no doubt about it. I'm actually like it to have a bit of sense of humour and, you know, to crack a joke or that sort of thing. That's a very big part of it. And if I could sing, I would. And I do sometimes, and I get a lot of clapping because people want to overturn the clapping.
Yeah.
My voice, my singing with the clapping, that's it really. But I do that too, I agree with that, but I'm still myself, I wouldn't be a huge entertainer as such, you know, like. Germans don't expect that either.
You have to remain German, true and true. Cathal, maybe last word to you in terms of the business. Is it very organised? Is it highly regulated? Is it, or as a sector, where do you see it actually evolving to?
Yeah, as a sector, it has become more regulated. Definitely, it's evolved big time. It's a battle of technology now.
Right.
We're trying to get the customer, you know, they have lots of choices in the world. So we've got to show online presence. We've got to be very smart with Google AdWords. To get the client, we've got to be mobile phone friendly with our websites, etc. So it's gone from who had the best tour guides to who has the best developers.
Wow.
And to keep us at the top of Google is the most important thing. So watching our trip advisors, watching the comments that people are making, making sure that, you know, they're getting feedback after their tour, a penny for your thoughts, etc. It's all about online presence, video, chat, social media, all mixed in.
Well, listen, it's a fantastic business, and you're great ambassadors for it, all four of you. Thank you for coming in. Big thanks to my guests, Kevin Gallagher from Trip Leader with Top Deck, and also there at Teeling's Distillery, Jörg Mill, owner of Green Horizon Tours, Colette Farrelly, a national tour guide, and Cathal O'Connell, owner of Paddy Wagon Tours. Thank you all so much.
Down to business with Vodafone, Ireland's best and test network for voice and data, awarded by P3.